Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, do you remember the heyday of Avon or Tupperware, the age of in-home parties? We find out how direct sales have moved from homes to social media feeds and if it's profitable for its sellers. First, Wisconsin is now on the list of states that have been affected by the E. coli outbreak linked to romaine lettuce. According to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, 98 people have been sickened in 22 states. 46 of them have required hospitalization. Happily, no deaths have yet been reported. Just one person has been reported ill in Wisconsin, though officials haven't said where in the state that person is from, nor have they released other details. The CDC says the lettuce is from the Yuma, Arizona growing region, and they are urging people not to eat romaine lettuce unless they're certain it's from somewhere else. Here to explain what's going on is Barbara Ingham, a professor in the Department of Food Science at UW-Madison and the UW Extension Food Safety Specialist. Barbara, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, we don't know much yet about this one person in Wisconsin who's been confirmed sick in this E. coli outbreak, but can we assume if there's one, there are likely to be more?
I think the full extent of the outbreak has yet to be determined in Wisconsin as well as in other states. So, yes, I think we can say that there may be others that will be added to the list in this state as well.
Has this particular outbreak been typical in how it's unfolded? Because I feel like we heard first reports of this, it feels like, at least a few weeks ago now.
It isn't atypical in terms of the time frame that we're looking at, that a product like lettuce, leafy greens, which are perishable or entering the market on a daily basis, really. And so the fact that that might have been the case, consumers do tend to store lettuce for maybe even up to a couple of weeks in their refrigerator. So that in and of itself isn't unusual. What is unusual about this particular outbreak, we've known about the particular organism, the pathogen, E. coli 0157H7, and we've associated that with hamburger that's not properly cooked, with apple cider, with a variety of other commodities. What happens to be somewhat unique about this illness outbreak is that the number of people who are actually being sent to the hospital, individuals who would normally be healthy adults, that even with this particular type of organism, they'll get sick, but it wouldn't require hospitalization. But for this outbreak, that's altogether different. And it's really raising concern in the public health community because so many people are being hospitalized.
So this particular strain of E. coli seems to be maybe stronger or more virulent than others we've seen?
It is more virulent, and it is because E. coli 0157H7, this particular type of pathogen, tends to produce two different toxins. One is known as STX1. The other is STX2. And this strain exclusively produces the STX2, and that type of toxin is more virulent than the other, and it's the one that's associated with the outbreak strain that we're seeing now.
And Barbara, what are the symptoms of E. coli? What should we be watching for?
Well, normally it's violent, you know, stomach cramps. Those are signs of just general gastrointestinal distress. So we might see that with other foodborne illness outbreaks as well. With E. coli 0157H7, what we normally send people to the doctors is bloody diarrhea. That's not something we see with normal foodborne illness outbreaks like salmonella or something that we might also know about. But bloody diarrhea, an indication that the toxin is in our system. It's actually then making its way into our bloodstream, and then it can find its way into the kidneys. So general foodborne illness symptoms such as vomiting, diarrhea, stomach cramps, but in this particular case, if bloody diarrhea is a symptom, that's an indication to definitely get yourself to the doctors, perhaps to the emergency room.
So the CDC is saying that before we buy or eat romaine lettuce, we should make sure it's not from Yuma, Arizona, but it's not always very easy to tell the origin of something like lettuce. How do we find out?
It's actually impossible with fresh produce. They can note that the Yuma, Arizona area, because that's somewhat seasonal, and that lettuce and other leafy greens are coming from that area of the country in the fall and the winter. And there has been a trace back to one particular farm in that area. Now we know that that type of production has shifted to the Salinas Valley of California. But unlike other produce items, unlike other packaged foods, such as canned goods or things that come in a box, where they will have actually a tracking code on them. Might not be a code that we can normally read, but when there is a recall for canned or products in boxes and things like that, the company can put out a lot code, and that will allow consumers to check their pantry for that. With produce, some parts of the produce industry have adopted some type of coding system, but food safety is really somewhat new. Food safety systems are somewhat new to the produce industry. They're just phasing in this year for some of the larger growers. So it's an industry that is struggling with this traceability of produce, and I think this particular outbreak is probably going to allow the industry to look back at some of those traceability systems and put some different processes in place.
We're talking right now with Barbara Ingham. She's a professor in the Department of Food Science at UW-Madison. She's also the UW Extension Food Safety Specialist. And we're talking about news that a Wisconsin person has now been has fallen ill because of the E. coli outbreak linked to romaine lettuce. And so, Barbara, I think you were kind of answering this, but I want to make sure. So the CDC knows where the bad lettuce is coming from, but is it not possible for it to recall it because there's just not the same kind of tracing system in place for produce like that?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. We also know that based on the shifting geographical area of where these leafy greens are coming from, that part of the country probably is not growing leafy greens anymore that are making their way into the distribution system. So whereas the Center for Disease Control hasn't said, you know, no romaine lettuce at all, they have told consumers, unless you know absolutely that that romaine lettuce that you're looking at or have in your refrigerator was grown somewhere other than Yuma, California, really the prudent thing to do is to not consume romaine lettuce until we know what's happening.
How does produce get infected with things like E. coli or Listeria or Salmonella? What is the actual process of that contamination?
Most of the contamination in any food product that we find in our supply as a raw material comes from soil or water, someplace in the environment. In this case, leafy greens, there's some evidence from other foodborne illness outbreaks that there may be animals or animal manure that are in finding their way into contact, perhaps through irrigation water, through just general flow of water onto a field. Birds can also carry certain pathogens, more likely salmonella, but produce is grown out of the environment, and so it's impossible to protect produce from contamination completely. We also, for produce items like leafy greens, there's no what we would refer to in the industry as a kill step. There's nothing like cooking,
right,
which can generally decrease pathogen numbers.
I was going to ask about that. So the fact that, especially romaine lettuce, but I also remember the spinach issue a few years ago, it feels like now, those romaine certainly and spinach probably more often than not are eaten raw. So,
right,
you know, there's nothing to maybe interrupt that infection.
Right, so this is why certain parts of our food industry, dairy, seafood, and the meat industry have had food safety systems in place for a long time, because we knew that those were great sources of microbial growth. They could fuel microorganisms, but the industry also could put steps in place, generally a kill step, so that microorganisms were decreasing, consumers needing to, of course, cook raw meat. With produce, we're seeing increasing outbreaks. This is probably not going to be unique if we look in a crystal ball, because of the fact that we do consume it raw, and there's really very little that can be done, even at the processor level. If produce is brought in from the field and washed, it's really very difficult, if not impossible, to effectively clean produce depending on the level of contamination. We just can't get that contamination off effectively once it's on there.
And you said that so far this outbreak has been developing at about, you know, what you would expect as a normal rate. What would you predict for how long this might go on and when we might see it start to level off instead of adding new states to the list?
Well, I think we are at the end of the outbreak, and that is because produce is, or these leafy greens are perishable. It can take a couple of weeks for someone to get sick with a foodborne illness. We normally think it's generally a couple of days, but depending on the pathogen and the dose, how much was consumed, it can take a while for someone to get sick. So if we think that the growing area where we think the lettuce is coming from has stopped production, so within the next week or so, depending on how the product has been kept, if it's been kept cold, we might see a slightly longer shelf life, but we're probably getting to the end of people getting sick from the item.
And Barbara, as we wrap up, what should people in Wisconsin keep in mind as we wait for this outbreak to die out?
I think that we need to remember that if you have romaine lettuce, or if you have a mixed salad mix in your refrigerator, you know, if you can't really pick the romaine out because it may have contaminated other leafy greens. Certainly, if there's anyone in your family that's at heightened risk, which would be elderly people or young children, the prudent thing to do is simply not to consume romaine lettuce at all.
Well, Barbara, thanks so much for joining us and sharing that advice.
Yeah, thanks for having me today.
Barbara Ingham is a professor in the Department of Food Science at UW-Madison and the UW Extension Food Safety Specialist. We talked with her about the E. coli outbreak linked to contaminated romaine lettuce, which has sickened people in 22 states, now including Wisconsin.